Amen. So if you would, turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 14. And I want to throw out a question. What inspires you? Anybody? What inspires you? Give me a hand. The cross of Christ. Amen.
Any kind of overcoming story?
A overcoming story. Amen. Zach.
Sacrifice.
Amen. Dennis. God's love. Amen. So tonight, I've entitled this lesson, Righteousness Inspires Godliness. And I'm gonna come out of the book of Romans. Our theme, does anyone know our theme for the year? It's what? The kingdom of God. Amen. So in Romans 14, the verse we're going to look at is in verse 17, but just to kind of give you some history on Romans 14, Paul is addressing the Christians there who were looking down on others because of either their weak faith or what they were eating or what they weren't eating. And he was like, you guys are disputing over matters that really doesn't matter. Amen? And we can all fall into that. But in Romans 14, verse 17, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I've just been meditating on this particular passage, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. And I just focused in on that first thing, righteousness. And when you look at the dictionary, righteousness, it's saying just doing the right thing, being a man or a woman of integrity, having morals, doing what you know is right. Wouldn't that be incredible if our kids would just embrace that? Amen. Right? Amen. Just do the right thing. Here, Paul was addressing the Romans because of their newfound freedom. Many people began to practice self-indulging behaviors. And when Paul addressed them, he told them that their bad behavior does not build righteousness. Righteousness inspires godliness. Turn over to Romans 4, because we're going to talk about a little bit about the righteousness of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 13. You guys with me out there? Can everybody hear me? Amen. So Romans chapter 4 talks about basically Abraham being justified by faith. And in verse 13 it says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. And that's my first point. Righteousness by faith. And you know, we all know what the Bible says about faith in Hebrews chapter 1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That's a hard teaching, especially in this world today, as we see chaos all over in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces, overseas, in our families. We see it. And it's just tough to embrace faith at times. Amen? Amen. A righteous relationship with God is based on faith. That's where it starts. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews 11 chapter 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He uses that word impossible. We cannot please God. The Word of God will nurture your faith. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. In verse 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The word is the Bible, and that's where we get our faith from. We don't get our faith from one another. We get our faith from God's word and being close to God. And I know we hear that, hey, reading your Bible, you could be legalistic by saying that, but it is real. It's real in my life. I know by just reading God's word and staying close to God, I can deal with life a little better. The Jewish people found freedom and then they lost their minds. See, when we start this spiritual journey and we just, you know, we're grounded in the word, we're soaking up the word, we're devoted to the word, and then over a period of time, we tend to start drifting, missing a day here, missing a week here, missing a month here. Not coming to church. Not showing up at all. You know, that's what happens when you stop being devoted to God's word. You lose faith in God, first and foremost. And then when your brother or sister try to go and talk to you, they can't hear you. Because they're not where they need to be spiritually. But see, being grounded, being rooted in God's word is the groundwork for having a relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. It is impossible. I'll go back to that. It is impossible to please God or to be righteous without faith in God. Faith comes from the word. As I said earlier, Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah believed, right? Do we believe? What keeps us from reading our Bibles? What keeps us from, you know, devoting time to God? We live in a society now where it's just like we're on the move. Kids' schedule, our schedule, and God gets boxed in or boxed out. And we have to get serious about our relationship with God, because in my opinion, Jesus will be back very soon. He will be back very, very soon. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared spiritually to face our Lord and Savior. And God is a God that He has given us freedom to do and to choose whatever we decide to do. He loves us that much. But that freedom came at a cost. And that was the blood of Jesus. That freedom that we're experiencing right now was not free in the sight of God. So the Bible says here that we have to earnestly seek Him. Turn over to Matthew. I have a lot of scriptures tonight. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's a promise from God. If you thirst and hunger for righteousness, He said, you're going to be filled. Are we doing that? What are we pursuing? Are we pursuing righteousness? Or are we pursuing this career, this promotion? Who knows? But we have to pursue righteousness. We have to seek it and thirst after it. And God says, you will be filled. But, you know, along with that righteousness, if you look in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. See, when you're being righteous, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're in school, it doesn't matter. The Bible says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How's that going for you? Are you receiving any persecution? Are people looking at you, talking about you, telling others about you, saying bad things about you because you decided to do the right thing? It says that you will be persecuted because of your righteousness. And that has happened to me on occasions. I was a restaurant manager years ago. I think I was 3 years as a disciple. I was managing a Bennigan's down by the airport. I had a certain employee. It was a cook that he just had a bad mouth. He had a bad attitude. And I wrote him up a couple of times. But there was one occasion where he came in late. I was on a wait. I was busy. I was short-staffed. He came in with just a bad attitude. And I questioned him about him being tardy. And he snapped on me. And I told him, I said, listen, you need to leave now. And this is in the middle of, I don't know if you work in a restaurant, but there's an alley where you get all the food and all the waiters and waitresses are there. And he spit directly in my face. And at that moment, you know, I just went blank. I didn't know what to do. And everybody that was right there in my presence just stopped and was looking. Like, what is he going to do? And I just walked back to my office, call 911 and had College Park Police come and take care of the situation. But I know if I wasn't thinking about God and his righteousness and what would Jesus do, that would just, it would just be a totally different situation. It would be a totally different situation. And not only did he spit in my face, but he left the restaurant before the cops got there. And I, at that time, I had a brand new 1999 Toyota Corolla. And he put a huge dent in my door. And I said, praise God. Amen. I didn't get hurt. No one else in the restaurant got hurt. It's a car. It's okay. But, you know, the Bible says that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's going to happen. If you're doing the right thing, I'm telling you, if you're doing the right thing, people are going to talk bad about you or try to do something to get you going. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
My second point is righteousness comes from the good news. Ephesians chapter 6. I try to read this every day before I go to work. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Brothers and sisters, this is an inspiring passage to me. He tells us how to prepare before you go out of your house. You need to be prepared. You need to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stance against the devil's schemes. Because I know for me, as soon as I get on Interstate 85, 285, the battle starts. It's on. And by the time I get to the office, if there's a four-alarm fire going on when I walk in, if I'm not prepared, forget it. The devil has taken me to a place where it's going to take me a little while to get back. Can anybody relate? The devil is powerful. Why do we need a shield of faith and a breastplate of righteousness in place? What does the breastplate do? It protects your heart. It protects your heart. Why do we need to protect our hearts? Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Above all things. And you know, it reminds me, who's seen that movie 300? Amen. Those arrows that were coming at those guys, some days I feel like that. That man, there's hundreds of arrows coming at me. Amen. And I feel like I'm just like, okay, let me just, because they're not going to stop. They're going to continue to come at you. And if you don't have that breastplate of righteousness, that shield, if you're not fully armed, you're going to get hit. And sometimes some of those arrows can take you completely out. We all know people that we've seen over the years where those arrows just, they didn't stop. We need to be prepared. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to stand firm. When we stand firm, church, we're trusting God. When everything around us seems to be like falling down on us, when we just trust God and believe that He is in control, He's going to see us through it. We can trust Him on that. Our peace comes from God's word, not our circumstances. See, sometimes we kind of think that our peace depends on our circumstances. See, God gives us peace in Galatians 5:22. And that's not based on our circumstances. I know that last year at Turner, they laid off 1,500 people. There was just turmoil throughout the company. And people were all over the place. And it was just a great opportunity to be at peace and not let my circumstances take me to places where I couldn't be a light for others. Our faith in God is strong enough to withstand the devil's schemes. I'm going to say that again. Our faith in God is strong enough to withstand the devil's schemes. We have to believe that, church. And our battle is not against flesh and blood. See, I think that that's where we go wrong. We think that, hey, Tom has something against me. Monroe has something. No, Satan is at work. He's the deceiver. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy relationships. He wants to destroy families. We need to allow God's word to direct our attitudes. You know, our attitudes can get us in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. I mean, just in our marriages, with our children. You know, sometimes, you know, you can be in the house and you don't know who's the child and who's the adult. That's just real. You don't, because you're not maturing in Christ. You're not letting your faith grow. You're not allowing righteousness to stand out. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians 5, 22. We're going to talk about the fruit of righteousness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Alan did an incredible job this past Sunday talking about this, asking us to grade ourselves on the points that he made. How did that go? What grade did you give yourself? I know I was talking to Chloe about that, and my wife is very, very honest. So there's some work to be done. But we need to go back. If you weren't here Sunday, you need to go back and listen to that again, and then ask someone you know who loves you unconditionally to grade you, and you grade them. I think this is very, very important. We need to have a sober judgment of who we really are outside of church, in our homes, because that's where the real test of Galatians 5:22 comes into play. Right there where no one else is there except you, your spouse, your children, your roommates, the real you comes out. Some of us, it comes out in our jobs. And it's just not a good reflection of Christ. Let the Spirit take charge of your life through your willingness to keep in step with him. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. If you're a disciple, you've been blessed with the Holy Spirit, which is able to teach us and train us and show us things that's going to help build up God's church. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 5. And I just want to give a shout out to the Campus Brothers. I think that was last week. They did a great job. Very, very inspiring. We have some very, very inspiring brothers and sisters in our congregation that are keeping in step with the Spirit, that are being righteous, that are being bold as a lion. They're not compromising. 2 Corinthians 5. The bottom of verse 20. It reads, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Man, when I heard that last week, I was like, whoa. There was a reason why God sent Jesus to die for us. In him, he's saying that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what he wants for us. He wants for us to be the righteousness of God. In him, God allowed Jesus to die for me, for you. He wants us to become the righteousness of God. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Get my place here. Second Timothy. Second Timothy 2, verse 22. You with me, church?
Yes.
Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. The Bible says flee. When I think about fleeing, I'm like, man, I'm out of here. Yeah. Fast. Quick, fast, and hurry. I'm not going to stay around it. It says flee the evil desires of youth. The things that we used to do. The things that we used to say. The people that we used to hang around. It says, flee. Get away from them. You know, I just know with my background, my chemical recovery background, I had to change playgrounds, playmates, and playthings. I had to change it all. I had to get away from that. Because if I would have stayed in the same area, around the same people, I wouldn't be here standing before you right now. We have to flee. And Paul gives us some things. He says that we need to pursue. We need to be going after righteousness. Going after faith. Going after love. And peace. In verse 23 it says, don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments. I mean, at times I can sit back and I can listen to people and it's just like, really? You've got to be kidding. That you're actually going back and forth about something that's not gonna matter in the next life? Yep. That's not important to me. The Bible says it produces quarrels. We need to be on guard for stuff like that in our homes, with our children, with our coworkers, because you are not living the kind of life that God wants you to live if you're in those kind of situations consistently. Now, it may happen here or there, but if that's a part of your life or part of your week, you need to talk to somebody. To say, I'm always going back and forth with people. Why? It says that the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind. That's hard. That's hard. To be kind to people that aren't kind to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To be kind to people that aren't kind to you. But you know what? Jesus led the way. He showed us how. He showed us how. It says that we must be kind to everyone, able to teach. And when I think about this scripture, I just think about, you know, when my kids were about to get into their teenage years, you know, just being able to teach without getting frustrated, without losing it. Just being kind, able to teach, not being resentful. Doing it with a bad heart. But these are some components of just being righteous. God wants us to be righteous. We were made righteous when we became disciples. And I just want to close out with just saying this. Does your life inspire godliness? Does your righteous life inspire godliness in others? In your home, at work, do people look at your life and say, man, I need to know God? Or are you just blending in? Or are you just like your next person in the next cube? There's no difference. See, church, we can inspire people with our righteousness in our families, at our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, with our relationship with God, with our faith in God, with us trusting God. But we have to put on that armor. You have to put it on. You have to be equipped. Because the devil does not play fair. He is looking for any little gap in your armor, and that's where he's going to strike. So, church, let's go out. Let's be inspired by each other's righteousness. Let's encourage each other to be more godly. Let's pray for one another. We're coming up on the holiday season where you're talking about it's busy now. It's getting ready to get really busy. We're going to be going different places for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, with our families. We have to be an inspiration. I know for me, going back home, it's tough. It is so tough. Because everything that's ungodly is in my hometown all day, every day. And it's tough. So I need to be equipped. And I want to encourage us to prepare ourselves, to prepare our families to be godly, to inspire others to be godly, and to God be the glory.